What's up, 1515 Now probably presents the Rundown of Love and Hip Hop New York, the official unofficial podcast of VH1's Love and Hip Hop series. I'm one of your hosts, John Robinson, joined by the lovely and talented Miss Shell Antoinette. How you doing, sweetie?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I know that usually when I say things like this, it doesn't happen, but I think this might be one of the longest episodes we do because there's so much news, and I'm trying to figure out.
I was sitting here like, oh, why? But I guess for the news part of this. Okay.
Yeah, a ton of news. It didn't make any sense how much news we got. All right, so let's get into this. Episode 3 called Please and Thank You. What is my info say? Remy Ma gets to the bottom of the rumors about Juju. Ana Yee struggles to balance her home life and career. Rich Dollaz takes on a new challenge with the help of Jacque. And Kambela confronts Juelz about his addiction. I thought this was another good episode. It's like there's some moments. I think the best scene might have been, no, there's a couple of scenes. I think the Kambela and Juelz at the studio was good. But I think the scene, there was a
yes
little.
And no. Oh, wait. Hold on. I thought I was done. Hold on. Wait a second. I thought I was finished with Love and Hip Hop and it still had some left.
Yes, it did. I knew it.
Pause for a second. I thought I was done. The way it went off.
It did. And then I felt the same way. When they went, yeah, they get a decision. So we'll pause. And we're back. All right. So you finished that. All right. So,
where were we? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I was saying the scene has to be, I can't wait till we get to it, is when Jacque meets Sydney Star or Sydney S T A double I.
That scene was priceless.
All right. So we start off with Yandy and Juju discussing Jonathan's party. Juju blames Ana Yee for the blow up at the party and reiterates that she doesn't like being called secretive. Yandy calls her out on being secretive when it came to the camp situation. Remember, they were dating for 10 years and she took her time when she wanted to tell her friends that the relationship was over. But she also didn't like the fact that when she did tell Yandy, Yandy said, "How long has it been?" But Yandy said, "Well, the next thing I said was, do you need anything?" And the scene really ends with, it seems as if Juju is going through it all over again. She gets a little bit emotional. I felt Juju. I was only with my ex for 2 years, and I waited a month and a half before I told people. I was like, man, maybe it might get back in 10 years. I don't know how long I would have waited. Well, in this social media age, you probably got to wait. You don't got that much time once they put single or they start posting like they single. Your guys and your friends start hitting you up like, yo, y'all good? How about you? How are you with breakups? You tell people right away?
You know, I ain't had too many relationships to on breakups. But I think I take a little moment to allow it to digest. And then I can say, so me and such and such, we ain't fucking with each other no more.
Okay, so I wonder how it works overall in life. Oh, because I never had one of those where we were going out, double dating. Obviously, now with Sarah, it'd be a little bit different. But I wonder if you got invited, if you and your significant other who just broke up got invited, do you tell your good friend then? Or you'd be like, oh, yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there. And then just
it also maybe depend on the breakup. Like if it's something that I think if it's a mutual breakup, like we know this isn't going to work, even though you still care for this person, you know, this doesn't work. I think you might take a moment, you know, get through your little heartache pain and go through. But if it's on some like cheating stuff, I feel like you would be like, girl, that nigga cheated.
You going
like,
straight to the gram? Y'all going to the gram? What are you going to tell
me? I would never put that type of stuff on a gram, but you know, because you
don't let shit lie to y'all. She will put, you will put some niggas ain't shit on Twitter, and then we got her like, what's she talking about? What's she
talking about? That never necessarily revolves around me actually talking, like me dating a guy. That might just be some shit I've noticed.
I hate liars. When you see a woman tweet, hate liars. Everybody hate liars. Nobody in this history of ever has ever said, are you lying or are you telling the truth? Because it'll be so great if you're lying to me right now because, oh, I love lies. No.
I am just saying, people people, like, it's like sometimes when people see, like, a meme or something that they relate to and they share it. It does not necessarily mean that something that person's going through in that moment. It's just something like, I get that.
All right, here's a PSA. Everybody hates liars. Everybody hate being sick. Everybody hate the home. I'm just saying, I hate being sick. Nobody like being sick.
Some people may enjoy it. They'd be like, oh, I can't eat.
If you enjoy,
I can't drink up to 5 weeks, 5 pounds because I'm sick. Woohoo!
If you enjoy being sick, then you're really a sick person. All right, so
Rich. I don't know these people lies.
I don't. Rich Dollars and Jack Quay at a fake music management event. Jack Quay invites. That's what they are. I was watching it.
They're fake.
I was watching it, right? And when we got to Nia Lee, scene, I want to book or at least a documentary on all the fake performances that's going out throughout Love and Hip Hop history.
So in about 10 years, I need Unsung Love and Hip Hop.
Yeah, that's gonna be a week. That's not gonna be one episode.
No, it's not. It's gotta be like an hour and a half, and you have to have like four versions because you have to have the New York version, the Atlanta version, you know, Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. All right, so he invites Rich to a video shoot with Nia Lee, who Rich has beef with. He thinks she's a pop-up queen and calls her out for being MIA in the music sense. Rich, where's your last hit? We get a flashback.
You know what? And I was thinking that when he was like, you shouldn't come to somebody that's been in the game for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then when Sydney Starr's friend was like,
oh, Byron.
Byron, that's his name. When he was like, who
has Rich? Yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes too. That was a good scene.
I was like, that's real.
It seemed as if everybody watches the show.
Everybody
but Nina watches the show. All right, so Jack Quay vouches for her growth, saying, yo, she's better. She got this kid. She got this new work ethic. Rich agrees to support, but he needs Jack Quay to help with his new artist, who he assures Jack Quay he is just working with. When we find out the new artist is Sydney Starr, my first thought was, is this why Cayenne thought Jack Quay is gay? Remember she was doing the game? I was like, because at first I said, is he going to date Sydney Starr?
Seemed somewhat kind of interested.
He did in the beginning.
For like 2 seconds.
But we're going to get to why he switches
that
up.
Freestyle here, boy.
Hey. She should could have kept that. So Jonathan invited Kim, Anna Yeast, and Sin Santana to discuss what went down at his birthday party.
It's the safari of this thing. Like, she just beat up.
Yeah.
It is the safari of love. I mean, of New York.
Yeah, I'm about to say,
in New York.
You cut yourself off of Love and Hip Hop. You're like, of Love and Hip Hop. Wait, where were we at? Like,
I was going to say Love and Hip Hop Hollywood is where I was going because it was on Hollywood. But
yeah. So he wants to discuss his birthday party. He really wants an apology from Kim and Anna Yeast. Since she just got back from Cabo and she didn't get dick down like she wanted to because Joe just mostly slept. That's too much money to pay to sleep. That's the best part of our vacation. That's why you I think the sex is so good because you paid for it. Maybe these Johns know something that we don't know. We should interview some. I would love to interview a John in an escort. Just yo, want to talk? Like, you really? Okay. Is it not that great?
You blur pay. They
say. It's audio. If we're an audio podcast, it'd be high. We gotta change their voice though. Remember those things like shrush.
Yeah.
You were like, I was blown when I first saw that in life. Yes. Anna Yee shows up wearing black. Kim is in teal. I don't forget what. Oh, Sin had yellow on, I think. Jonathan calls out Anna Yee for the ambush on Juju. She said, you should have just left it alone. He would have handled it after the birthday. She thought she was defending Jonathan. Kim didn't like
turned up. Like, I was like, what happened?
Oh, listen, I'm sorry, y'all, if y'all expect detailed notes, but when we get to that part, all I got is Anna Yee and Jonathan have a screaming match and break up for the umpteenth time. Dusty ass wig. I don't know what happened. So Kim didn't like the fact that Jonathan tried to make it bigger than it was. She's like, look, I just said, you said she was secretive. You called her phony and fake. I didn't say all that. They got into a yelling match. They break up. Anais and Jonathan, that is. John was going to tell, like I said, Juju about how he felt after the birthday. He didn't feel it was fair that Kim ran her mouth. And then that's when she brought the fake and phony. And he says, you need to reevaluate yourself. And she says, I ain't got to reevaluate nothing. So neither one of them reevaluate each other. And then it's over. That's the end of the scene. And Sin really didn't, outside of talking.
Sin was literally just there.
They just give her some food. Like how Remy Ma's cheeseburger o'clock.
Yeah. I was like, why did you even invite Sin out? When you, and that's nothing against Sin. Everybody know I love Sin, but why invite Sin out where you needed to talk to Kimbella and Anna East?
I didn't get that either.
From their behavior, from your birthday party. Like, why did you invite Sin?
Yeah, because it wasn't as if Sin was mediating it. He was just
there.
Exactly. All right. So Secret of Juju confides in Remy. She hops in on a photo shoot. Not hops in, but stops by, drops in. Remy having this photo shoot for a clothing line. I think it was Vin Vixen. I didn't catch the first part. Papoose is there. She brings a cheeseburger, gives the cheeseburger to Papoose.
I got questions.
About the cheeseburger?
About the clothing line.
Okay, so.
Is Remy Ma by Vin Vixen? So it's under somebody else's. Don't she also have a boutique?
Yeah, North Carolina. Yeah.
So I'm like, are your items going to be sold
there
through the boutique? That was my question.
Okay. You literally asked the question as if I said, Remy, you got an answer for her?
Like, I'm like, and then why is it by or through? Well, I guess maybe she's in partner with.
Yeah, she got a collection with Vin Vixen. So, okay. Remy talks about what all this work she's doing while she's pregnant. It seemed charitable, but I was, taking notes real quick. I didn't get the details. Apologize. So,
Remy Ma Foundation.
Yeah, but it was helping mothers do something, right?
It was helping women in jail, like when they come out, help to get on their feet, so that they're not far behind. The transition back into society helped them. I guess find jobs, things of that nature. All right. Go ahead, Remy.
Cool. Go ahead, you. I mean, you finished it. You almost went the whole year without being able to chime in, because I forgot something, but you did it. You pulled through with like 2 weeks left.
Fuck you.
I'm just saying, all right. So Juju brings up Jonathan and Anna Yeast. And she, mostly the Jonathan being secretive, and she blamed the secretive on Yandy. Like, she think that's Yandy's code word. And that's when she says, Yandy's calls me secretive, but I didn't bring up the fact that she didn't tell us about her marriage and I signed those papers, which is true. And Remy says, you know what? Y'all need to sit down and have a conversation, and I'm going to mediate it. Probably, what, a quarter before cheeseburger o'clock, something like that. All right. We get to meet Rich Dollar's new artist. And I'm going to tell y'all what I wrote down. If the scene opened up with pancakes, I said, is Rich Dollars at Denny's? And then
it definitely looked like the mom and pop breakfast dorm.
And then Sydney Starr was drinking wine. And I said, oh, fancy Denny's. Because Denny's got wine. So they was at a fancy Denny's.
But the chairs looked like the couch.
Yes, a booth. I was like.
Oh, yeah, the booth. Thank you. They're very mom and poppish. Mm-hmm. What I was thinking of when I saw it. What it reminded me of? The Hotel Continental Breakfast Joint, like when you went to those areas.
Yeah.
I was like, where are they?
I was thinking that. I said, the pancakes look good, real quick.
I'm happy it wasn't like no, sadity ass place. It was just like regular. We meeting here. What's
Speaking
up?
Of pancakes, but just breakfast in general, those new thick and fluffy waffles from Eggo's, pretty good. Pretty.
I had an Eggo.
Listen,
in like 15 years.
Yo. I looked up how to make Eggos because, I don't be on the toast and stuff. I'm like, screw that. You can put them in the skillet real low and you can get them crunchy and soft. Oh, it's amazing. They got a brown sugar and cinnamon Eggo waffle, thick and fluffy. I'm telling y'all.
I like my real waffles.
They're not real waffles? They just.
I like to mix my batter and put them in my waffles.
Oh,
waffle
you could have just said I like to make waffles. Like you call them fake waffles. I was like,
I don't know. Eggos is like.
You too good for Eggos now. So they can brand it. That's the only reason why they did that shit.
Not like Eggos.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. We sidetracked. All right. Sydney starts DMing him for 3 or 4 years. She claims Rich Dollars. She claims she's gonna be the biggest artist he worked with.
I'm definitely about to look that up.
So. The Hookmaster Jacquay, aka Jaguar, shows up. So he asked her about music. She says she writes her own music, and she said, "Do you want me to freestyle?" So she freestyled, and I thought this was like not a good idea. Like, don't try to go off the top of your head, but. She started, this the line, she said, "I'm a raw ass bitch, the chick with the dick." Yo. And then she stood up, started dancing, and that white guy in that next booth was busting up laughing.
Yo, he was, right?
And then she said, "Venus, because I got a nice penis." And Jacquay was shocked. And then he gave his assessment. He said, "I'm not a fan of that AAA," because she started going, "Hey, hey." I don't know why. Told her to work on her delivery.
She was freestyling. She ain't had no lines. She had to fill in the blank somewhere.
You gotta grab some shit. Going to the studio to figure out how she's gonna present herself. Cause he said, "I did not know that you were trans." And then they asked, "Can you say trans?" He said, "Yeah." And that was our introduction to Sydney STARRR.
I found an answer.
Okay. Why is it called Egos?
Because I'm petty.
Oh, that's why?
No. Because of the egg flavor, customers called them Eggos. Eventually, the name became synonymous with the product. In 1955, the Dorsa brothers officially changed the name to Eggos.
Oh, man. When you said customers, I thought this started off at a mom and pop restaurant. I said, you could get Eggos somewhere?
Well, Eggo waffles was invented in San Jose, California by Frank Dorsa, who developed a process by which waffles could be cooked frozen and packaged for customers.
And then Kellogg snatched that shit up because they'll do
and
all things breakfast.
Exactly. So yeah, they introduced it to supermarkets throughout the United States. Frozen waffles do not require a waffle iron to prepare. Tart to Eggos. And I guess because they do all a bunch of breakfast shit and eggs was in breakfast. So bow, they show.
There you go. Yo, you know what's messed up though? You know, the messed up part about it is you said the customer started calling them that. They didn't get no money for that.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, we'll rock with that. What we got? Anais and Ruben House. Anais is dealing with some real drama. She's helping her son Diamond with his homework. Ruben's folding clothes while King's asking him questions. King is the other son. I'm sorry. After they put the kids away, Anais puts the kids away to bed. She says Ruben is not doing enough around the house. She wants more from him. She's still struggling in the music business. At least she's real. She's like, listen, I'm getting older. This might not work out for me.
Anais talks in circles to me. Like, I feel like she was going down one road and then she made a right to another point. And then she sidetracked down the alley and then she realized she needed to back up and do a 3-point turn and come back. Like, it was just like she was all over the place.
I was confused when he said, "Do you want me to quit my job?" And she's like, "No." And then
conversation was confusing.
Yeah, I said, "Is he still managing you?" I'm confused. I understand him not doing.
Oh, was he managing her? Yeah.
So Ruben didn't have any answers. It was weird when she said that music was the only dream she had. She's fed up with everything and everybody. So
another thing I didn't understand.
Okay.
It is 2018. There is way too many outlets for you to get your music out.
Yeah.
What are you waiting on?
I don't know. Does she got a YouTube channel? IG story? She can be breaking
up. That's what I'm saying. Like, I hope you're not like waiting on a label when there's like people out here independently getting it cracking.
Yeah,
and if you do that much work, I'm sure a label will come and scoop you at some point. You know what I'm saying? Like, the people who's out here doing the damn thing, damn near been independent, and then got Chance Rapper still ain't got no label, right?
No. You said that. You was like, "Dang, ain't got no label."
He got all his money. Is all I'm saying. He ain't had nobody back.
Nope. What we at? Sydney Starr. We get to meet Byron. Byron seems cool. She met him in the club. Tried to spit game, but he's been a friend for 10 years. I hope Byron, you wanted to be outed, but because she did it. He questions Rich Dollar.
I know. I was saying that too. I'm like, is he gay? Is he straight?
He might be bisexual. Both? Or maybe he's just, I don't know what it's called if he's just into women and then. In transsexuals. It's like, I don't know what the word is for that.
Pansexual.
I thought pansexual was everything.
Ain't that's that what, a, ain't that part of everything?
No, because you're not attracted to, he's not, maybe he's not attracted to men. If you're pansexually attracted to men who used to be women, women used to be men, men and women. So that's everything.
Well, I feel like I should still call them pansexual.
Okay.
I feel like that's still a group because there's no other category for it.
No, I know that's very specific. If you only attracted to women or just trans women or.
Yeah, like, okay.
All right, so he questions Rich Dollars, asks who he has he worked with. She said Erica Mena, not Mena. And he said, yeah, she's prospering, but not in music. Brought up Olivia. She did bring up that she met Jacquay. He likes Jacquay.
Can we get Olivia back on the show?
I really wish. I wish.
I don't know why. I just want to know what she's doing.
I do too. Then Sydney Starr says she was worried about Rich's reaction with fans coming at him for working with her. And then Byron said, listen, that man's name is Rich Dollars. If this can make money, he should be all the way in. I was like, good for you, Byron.
Good
You're smart.
Point. Yep. Mm-hmm.
We shoot over to Joel's in
he
the studio.
He was a real friend.
Yeah. I was like, that means we're probably never going to see Byron anymore. No, like, that's how they do it. So we shoot over to Joel's in the studio. The song didn't sound bad. It's just he does with the teeth. Just gonna put it like that. So we're a few days away from him making a decision. After he got done with the booth, him and Kim talked. He said, listen, you know how it's gonna get 18 months. It looked like it might be 27 to 37. And if I get guilty, I think 57 to 67, something like that. So a little more, it's more time. I don't want to put a little more because jail is precious. He brings up the time lost and how old the kids would be. He still doesn't know what to do. He's not okay with losing time, obviously. Kim thinks that one of his problems is he doesn't own his truth. She brings up the substance abuse, wants him to take responsibility. Joelle turns that around into, so you want me to go to jail? No, that's not what she was saying. You know what? You know what's annoying? When men do that, because men forever deal with that with women. You be like, when you're talking to a woman, especially in human relationships, they interpret what you're saying differently in the story. And you be like, I didn't say that. I don't mean that. And for a man to do that to a woman, it's just like, what? No, she said own responsibility so you can move forward. She didn't say go to jail. If you know what I mean?
You know, right. And I understand that. But a part of me is like, you keep bringing it up as if he hasn't said, you know, he fucked up on the drug thing. Like, I don't.
He says he doesn't think the drugs were the problem. He says that late. Well, I don't know if that was in that might have been in the scene you just really watched, because he says, I didn't get in trouble because of the drugs. I got in trouble because of gun in my bag. And then in this part, either in this part or that part, she says, if you weren't on drugs, your mind would have been clear. That means you would have checked your bag and you wouldn't have.
I get that. But in Joelle's defense, been there, done that. We passed this point already. We are here.
She just
I'm not on drugs no more. So how many times are you gonna bring this shit up?
Till he says, "You right." Are you happy now? He wanted to have the Martin moment when he proposed to you.
Are you happy now?
Damn. Yo, he shouldn't have proposed. I didn't like Gina's haircut. That's when she was rocking that short haircut.
Oh yeah, it just made her hair
was too big for that. All right. So we get to cheeseburger. It's almost cheeseburger clock. Remy invites Juju and Yandy to her house to address their issues. Remy tries to set the table, but Juju says, I can speak for myself. She brings up the issues of being called secretive.
I like that. Like, let me clap for that. I was happy. She's like, I don't need this.
Okay. What she said? Oh, so she brings up the issues with her being called secretive and says, Yandy, you didn't disclose your marriage papers. And Yandy says, well, we were waiting for a plea. And I felt like the reason you did yours because you didn't trust me to be a friend to her. Remy steps in. She's like, listen, both of y'all secretive. Y'all should dead it. That's when Juju says, listen, I only told my mom and sister. And then I told you, Remy and Yandy, and then Cam was being defensive the next week. She asked Yandy if she talked to Cam afterwards, and Yandy said nope. So they agreed to take secret about their relationship, and then Yandy couldn't let it go. Like, I won't take it personal that you don't trust me. And Wesley said,
oh, I can't stand it. Oh, that's just that. I was like, okay, conversation over. And then Yandy just has to. I'm like, girl. And then the fact that you didn't understand where Juju was coming from, like, tomato, tomato. Mm-hmm. Y'all saying the same thing.
Yeah, and then
y'all did the same thing, but just as you feel it was different from your end, it was different from hers. I was aggravated with this thing.
Yeah, and Remy said it's cheeseburger clock, so y'all gotta go.
Cause she saw we was gonna go left because it was stupid, and it what I learned about it was like Yandy can't accept shit.
I think she can't, like, admit that she's wrong. Like, yeah, you're wrong.
Like, you can't accept the fact that you were wrong. It's okay to be like,
which is,
I apologize. I was wrong for that.
It's funny to see her in a new position on after all these years, because Juju was having problems with Yandy, and so was Kimbella.
Yeah.
Like, yo, you not this little saint you claim to be.
A pud.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Nia Lee. So we go. Was
completely different with her.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so mad at her. Was she really doing the low jean G-string trim?
Yo, I was like,
and two.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense. I was like, why are you? Okay,
all
right.
That ass, I was so.
All right, so after she got done performing her new single with Jacquay called Move It, which if it's where I play it. After the performance, big hit after all these. Oh, yeah. Rich Dollar said, you ain't had a big hit after all these years. I don't know why that was in his talking head. So she, Jacquay greets her. Then Rich shows up and Nia really watches the show because she was, Nia, brings up Rich's messy business. And this is when Rich getting his bag. He's like, you need to, if this, you're doing your due diligence. I've been in the game for 20 years. And before he can give her a real lesson, Sydney Starr walks in and Sydney did, she walked in the right way according to Rich, but then she really went left when she said, oh, I've been a star way before you, Nia.
Where did that even come from?
Yeah, Nia was like, don't stand too, that's when Nia said, don't stand too close. She'll wrap her under the table. And Sydney said, I'm hungry. She's like, you ain't gonna eat here. Rich takes it. Rich really, I think Rich has seen so many women fight. He's like, stop it. Stop it.
I don't want to see this shit no more.
Yeah, I'm tired
probably
of this shit.
Because they be coming at him. I feel like most of the women on the show be fighting because of him.
All right. So then Jacquay joined them. And he said, Jacquay, he chastised Sydney about how, you know, you don't understand. Nia was just on stage and you trying to shut down this her party. Didn't like the energy. And he says if she maintains that energy, he's not going to sign off on that record. And she looked legit sad. She was like, wait.
You know what? Now maybe I'm off, but it sound like he's finding a reason not to work with her.
Yo, working with a trans in this era of hip hop,
it's rough.
But I'm saying it's like, you know how the Cleveland Browns are a horrible football team, and before a couple of years ago, the Cubs didn't win. If you can turn that around, they're going to be like, oh, he the guy. He made us all bop our head to, you know, a transgender. He made a transgender hot. It's low risk, high reward for Jacquay if he could pull it off. If not, he could always be like, man, it just wasn't ready, you know. I really wanted to ask her, I wanted him to ask Sydney, who was your audience going to be when you keep bringing up this dick? Like,
I mean, that's a real question. Though. I know, because you have to know who your artists are, because that's going to be, I think, kind of odd and uncomfortable for your average heterosexual man.
Yeah, and then I wonder, because from what I understand from Sydney Starr, to use a gay term, she's a bottom. So why do you keep talking about your penis? You could just talk about sex and then women can relate. That's and guys true. Who don't know no better, which is not know no better, but don't know that you have a penis. It's just like,
okay. I know this might be a weird question, because I think we talked about this on another show, and I was like, I feel like you're supposed to tell somebody when you're transgender. But if you're transgender and you're going to be a woman, why even say you're a transgender? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why not just be a woman?
I don't know. We would have to ask her.
Like,
I don't know if it's
in her rap person. Let's just stick it to rap. Why even bring up the fact if you're trying to live your life as a woman right now?
You know what? Wouldn't it be the same as Logic? Like the rapper Logic, dad is black. But if he doesn't mention that his dad is black, we would think it's just a white guy. So yeah, maybe the fact that he's like, I don't want to portray that I'm something I'm not. And maybe that's Sydney Starr's like, well, I am trans. I don't want to disrespect women who are born naturally women and try to say I'm one of them. And then you're repping for other trans coming up in the game, maybe. All right. So decision time. Kimbella and Juelz have an uneasy drive to court. They walk in hand to hand, and then it went to commercial break. And I said, "Oh, okay, we're gonna come back for next time." Nope, we came back for
Heath. Yo, I definitely thought we were coming back for next time. I definitely thought that was the end.
I did too.
The way they wrapped it up, the music played, like it's over.
All right. So they come back. He took the plea. He felt that was the least selfish choice, and he didn't get the closure because he could get more time up to the judge. And this is where I think he messed up at. When he was riding back, he said he felt he was moving in the right direction. And Kimbella gave him a little rope and he hung himself. Hanged himself. She said, before the case? He was like, yeah. And she said, bro, what are you talking about? You had the drugs on you. You were high. You're always high. This is where they got real. So he says to her, oh, so you were perfect.
You could tell, man, he had some type of dirt. She was not going.
Yeah. So she used her words so well. She said, no, but I was perfect for the man I had at the top. I said, okay. Yeah. Nobody's perfect. J. Cole, they should have played that in the background. And he's like, she's like, oh, because you didn't cheat. And then she didn't. All right, here's the problem. Why did you bring, no man who's cheated wants to bring up the cheating. They tiptoe. You brought the cheating up. She didn't even bring that up. Yo, you bring some relationship on that. She said, no, I've just been there for you when you needed me there. Oh, I've been there for you, I think she said. And then he said, well, there's been times you haven't been there. And then he brought up her going on the internet saying they weren't together, which we reported on one of our news and rumors. And then we got a little insight into their life, how he said, I was downstairs doing drugs and you were upstairs and you knew that. And she said, I begged for you to come upstairs. And he's like, no, you don't. No, you didn't. And Kim was just fed up and says, listen, if you want to end it, we can end it now. And he says, well, June, I'll be in jail soon. So, you know,
whatever works. That was a good scene, though, in the car.
Yeah. I wonder how that played out at the house.
If they got over it because they engaged. So.
Yeah, I wonder.
Do we get married before he goes to jail?
He better if you want them visits.
True that.
If you want those conjugal visits. I meant to go look this up, but I think Kimbella is from Florida. And I was like, oh, so is Juju.
Is she? Because.
Did you call her orange?
Did I say who?
Didn't you say she was orange or something like that? Like she looks orange.
Yeah, she looked at her face, her makeup, her tan, everything looked real orange. But I was listening to them and I'm like, boy, all New Yorkers sound like New York Latin people. Like everybody in New York sounds like New York / Hispanic.
Let's see. Yeah, she's from Miami, Florida. Told you.
How long she been in New York?
Too long. She been with Juelz for 10 years.
True.
At least 10 years. So, shoot. And she's born 1983. It's not like they... I think Juelz born the same year as me. I think we both 82. What's her name? Her name is actually Kim. Kim Vanderhee.
Where did Bella come from?
She added that Kim Beautiful. She's often referred to as Kim Bella, Kimberly, or simply Kim. Her parents were not exactly role models. Her father's African-American. Her mom is Caucasian. That's what really throw you off about Kimbella, because if she told you she was a Spanish chick, you might believe it.
Yeah.
All right, next time. Maggie, Mano's girlfriend, goes back to the scene of the crime.
About to be like, who?
Oh, Cayenne. Yo, Cayenne is back.
Another one.
That's a firecracker. She pissed Jacquay against Safari, and then we get Juju and Jonathan round two. So before we get into, because I was letting you know we do have feedback, I want to be fair to this feedback that we have and don't be sounding all crazy. Where's flagged? All right, this one. Okay, so we have two emails this week, one from Belinda. The subject is Nina Parker. She says, how do you both hope all is well? It's cool.
Hey.
I am catching up and wanted to comment on Nina Parker. I think that Nina doesn't ask the questions we want to know because she she is directed not to. If the real questions are asked, then the fake stories are unraveled. I think the problem is that Nina is not Nina, but the actual show, just saying, no matter who the host, it would be the same result, especially with the whole ATL, the married couple with the guy who got the stripper pregnant, parentheses, can't remember names. She's talking about Kirk and Rashida. So okay. Many obvious questions were never asked. Thanks. Yeah, I believe that too. I like the direction they're going for Love and Hip Hop New York. So I think the hosting should be a little bit better because the storyline seemed grounded. That you're gonna get some real questions out of here.
I mean, then y'all should make up real kind of questions for these fake ass storylines because you know, no, like because they all know we know that this show is not 100% true. And you all know that we're going to have these type of questions. Like, don't give me this bullshit. If you're not going to, then don't give me a reunion show.
Yeah. If you're just not going
to
just.
If you're not going to really, you know, get to the butt of it. Like, don't even give it to me.
Or just don't give me these storylines. If you're going to get to the bottom of it and the answer is going to be, well, you said if we acted up, we get more money. So that's why I did it. I turned up for that. All right. So the other one is from Danielle.
And hi, Danielle.
Her subject is calling out BS. John yes. Shell in the Rundown / EQOP fam. I love the shows. Y'all are the best. I don't care about any other Love and Hip Hop podcast. They're trying to push on us. Y'all have been doing it so long. 5 years to be exact. Almost six. We got to start calling out bullshit and lies these quote unquote celebs tell. Alexis Sky said she's not worried about getting child support from Fetty because she's independent and has her own money. Meanwhile, on January 29th, 2018, almost a year ago, she posted the following and she gives an inserted a picture from IG. This is from Ball Alert and they screenshotted Alexis Sky. She says, bitch ass nigga, stay the fuck from me and my daughter. I'll see you in court, bitch. 100 emoji. At Fetty Wap 1738, I'm not keeping quiet no more. Drop that money off for Alea before you leave out town. She goes on to say, sorry, I don't believe you. Then in her song, which we played last week, she says she's a rich bitch. However, on the latest episode of Love and Hip Hop New York, she states her daughter is on Medicaid. Medicaid is for low or no income recipients. How is she quote unquote rich but can't afford health insurance for her child? Doesn't sound rich at all. The celebrities really stick to the fake it till you make it code. This bullshit needs to stop. What are your thoughts about this and others portraying two or more different lives at the same time? Side note, Nina Parker should not be hosting any more Love and Hip Hop reunions until she watches the entire season. We can tell she doesn't watch the shows and only regurgitates what's on the teleprompter. Thanks for the podcast shows. Love you guys, Danielle. All right. So before we go into the information, I responded with love you too. And all these are valid points. Let's get into the reason I didn't bring up the Medicaid topic last week is because I didn't think anything of it. I just saw her throw it out there. So I said that either she's lying to the people or she's lying to the government about how much money she has. So I did do some information on Medicaid.
She explained it.
Danielle wrote this the day after we recorded, right. Obviously.
Oh, that's fine. I figured that.
So I didn't know. So for those who don't know, Medicaid is classified as a state and federal program of health care coverage for low income individuals ranging from eligible adults and children to pregnant women, the elderly, and people with disabilities. As Alea Grace was born with a special health need, she likely will qualify for Medicaid assistance regardless of her mother's income and seemingly quote-unquote lavish lifestyle. So Alexis said that she doesn't receive Medicaid, but Alea does because of the many things that she was diagnosed with during her birth. So that pays for all the therapy that the child has to go through. And then I saw other people say that even if she didn't qualify, Alexis might be able to because most of her income is cash and she doesn't have to report it. And then they also said, even if Alexis has tons of money, the money she says she has, let's say tons, right? it still wouldn't have been enough to pay for surgery. Surgeries are really expensive.
Yeah, it really
so,
is.
And we know that baby was born with a lot of issues coming out the womb. So it don't matter. Just because y'all see her with a couple of bags and stuff like that doesn't mean that would have been able to pay for the surgery. It looked crazy, and I hope we get an explanation at the reunion. That should be a question so she can educate everybody on Medicaid.
Exactly.
So, because I honestly didn't know the ins and outs of it. All right, let's get into. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah, I accidentally clicked on her video.
Oh, okay.
Talking about it.
Yo, I said, did I have extra stuff? So we're going to start with Alexis guy. The alleged baby daddy, or the guy who claimed he was a baby daddy, Solo Lucci hopped on IG stories right after last night's episode to say this.
Well, I just heard some bullshit. This bitch get on TV and this hoe said the reason that Fetty is hesitant about claiming my baby because people like Solo Lucci is saying it might be his for clout. Bitch, how the fuck do I get clout off getting a female pregnant? The niggas don't know who baby did. That's not no clout. That shit embarrassing, man. What the fuck you talking about clout, man? That's crazy as a motherfucker.
I want you to speak clearly. That's what I want.
You don't
want to
claim the baby because, goddamn it, you got a nigga looking stupid. What the fuck you talking about? That ain't got nothing to do with it. Don't look for nobody to blame but your goddamn self. Crazy-ass folks. Love in real life.
All right, Alexis responded to him on Instagram. She says, I'm so sick and tired of this shit. I've asked Solo Lucci to come take this fucking DNA test multiple times to put this rumor to rest. But of course, the only way he's willing to do so if it's a scene for Love and Hip Hop involved. It's really sad and annoying as fuck that I even have to go out of my way to prove to anyone what I've done with my own pussy. She put a lot of exclamation points on there. Solo knows goddamn well I wasn't involved with him for months prior to me getting pregnant. This is my exact reason for saying he does this for clout. When I contact him behind the scenes to come take the test to shut these women down, he bullshits. I think I'm going to go with Alexis Sky on this one. Because it's not in her interest to keep this rumor alive.
It's not, yeah.
It doesn't help you at all. Plus, because you didn't show up on Love Hip Hop Hollywood at all. So
that's true.
Just all she really needs is one of these dudes to take. Just take the damn test. Get this shit over with. Why y'all want this to hang over?
You fed up.
Fed up. Erica Mena says she's done with Love and Hip Hop. She took she took some questions on her Instagram stories when asked if she was returning to the Love and Hip Hop franchise. She says, not this season. I refuse to put anyone on ever again.
Who's she putting on?
Maybe she said, who
she put on last season?
What's old girl name that was messing with Stevie? Maybe she felt like she was helping that girl out. I don't know. The Pomeranian princess, but I don't remember.
Yeah, Estelita. You know what's so bad? Because I had to think of like Spanish food to get to that.
What was they calling her?
I forgot it.
Then it was a joke. I forgot what they used to call her. But then it doesn't make sense because Love and Hip Hop was shooting in Costa Rica this past week and she was down there.
In Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Living her best life.
Yeah, so Yandy, Kimbella, Juju, Maggie, Mano, Joe Budden, Sin, Safari, and Erica, who posted a thirst trap video of her on a horse, were all down there shooting some scenes for Costa Rica. That's why Joe Budden wasn't on the podcast this week and we didn't get a Saturday episode. So look forward to seeing the Costa Rica episodes coming up soon. Who else? Erica Dixon is rumored she's coming back for Love & Hip Hop Atlanta Season 8.
Okay, didn't we say bring her back?
Yes. So Kirk, watch out because she don't play that mess. She was a main cast member 1 through 4, and she was on support last season.
So we finna watch her be... Nah, let me not say that.
All right, Nikki and Masika.
I can say it. I was like, do you think she's gonna be messy because, like, oh, Scrappy ain't in my baby's license. He went married Bambi, and he got a new baby. He's like, I feel like, is that gonna be her storyline?
No, but she can't. I feel they're doing this grown and mature.
I hope so, because I don't want to see that.
right, Nikki and Masika.
And plus, she just don't seem like she being messy no more. Cause I don't think Erica was ever really messy.
No, that wasn't her bag. Nikki and Masika got into it on IG this past week. Masika was answering questions on Instagram and let it be known that Nicki Minaj is the only Nicki she acknowledges. When they asked why you got beef with Nicki, all she would say is Nicki was a fraud. So then Nicki baby took to IG to tell Masika to keep her name out her mouth.
And not to make any sense because she was just talking.
Yeah, she didn't even put herself in the video. It was like she cut herself off. She even brought Fetty Wap into it. Like, you don't even claim you. What are you talking about? Anyway, Masika.
It just sound like some Hollywood drama. Like,
yeah, Masika fired back with face don't move, ass don't move, thighs look like a popsicle. Basically talking about all the plastic surgery. Hazel got caught up in it too. She says her.
Hazel probably is. Helped herself into the drama.
Well, she had put, they asked, will you and Hazel ever be cool? And she was like, I was never friends with him. And then Hazel started firing back. And that's when Masika posted receipts of Hazel trying to be friends in the DM. So that didn't really work out. I did try to watch. I tried to watch. Sarah was watching Growing Up Hip Hop. That show just looks like Love and Hip Hop. I saw a scene with Lil Mama and Deb. And Deb, listen to me. This is how crazy the scene was. So they was having this pool party and Masika was there. I have no idea who this other girl was. And Deb and Lil Mama. Deb, y'all know Waka Flocka's mom, asked Lil Mama, yo, so why'd you jump on stage with Jay-Z?
You thinking that's the shit that happened 10 years ago?
And she and her talking head before, she's like, I want to ask her. I always wanted to know about that. And I said, she's already addressed it.
Yeah.
And that's what Lil Mama beef was. Like, well, why are we? And then she's like, look, they're going to come at you. I said, this is not the time or place. So you asking me in public about it. But you could have just looked that up. That I'm not bringing up stuff from 10 years ago. I mean, she wouldn't like nobody to talk about, you know, her son being suicidal. And that was a while ago. You wouldn't want that. Just out the blue, the first time you met somebody.
Right.
Stop it. Deb, you better than that. Baby Blue, one of our favorites from last season, Love & Hip Hop Miami, apparently got into a brawl on this season. So it says, sources are saying Pretty Ricky member Baby Blue sent a man to the ER after a brawl ensued while taping the reality show's new season. Now, eyewitnesses claim...
I can believe that, too, for some reason.
Eyewitnesses claim that the Love & Hip Hop cast member began fighting a man named Dante Wednesday, who was reportedly helping Baby's ex-fiance, Michelle Carolus. She's one half of the Double Dose Twins. I didn't know who these girls were. They got a big IG following. They recently caught off the engagement. Dante was helping her move out of the home they once shared. And we'll pause right here.
Okay.
I hope Miami does a better job because... y'all had Blue fake a relationship. Remember he tried to get with Shay, but he was engaged. So why did y'all do what? I didn't even know this man was engaged. So although cops were called, law enforcement sources say both men were gone by the time they got there. TMZ says the physical brawl got so bad that Dante was sent to the hospital for a large gash on his forehead that needed stitches.
What a security at? They normally own it.
Well, sources close to production says VH1 crew members didn't actually catch the fight footage.
Of course they didn't.
All right. Lyrica Anderson.
Of course they didn't.
Yeah. Lyrica Anderson had a health scare after she had baby boy Ocean Zion Bentley. Her health quickly deteriorated. She says things got so bad, doctors had to give her toothbrushes to itch her skin. So I think I have a clip of that too. Let's see. Where is this? Y'all, if y'all have the time, make sure y'all go check out this video because she is interviewing with sunglasses on in a hospital gown. Shit look crazy.
And I was like, oh my God, we did it. Everything's okay. And then after the birth is when it got a little traumatic. I ran a super high fever out of nowhere. I started going into like some sort of convulsions. I couldn't stop shaking for a good 7 hours straight, just shaking with a fever. And then I couldn't stop itching. They had to literally bring toothbrushes in my room to let me scratch my skin so that I wouldn't pierce my skin. And it was the scariest thing because I'm like, I'm shaking and itching. And I literally thought I was dying. Like,
so she's doing better now.
But now I'm happy that, you know, all is well. The baby's healthy. She's healthy. A1 is healthy.
Yep. She said A1 got her a little shaken up by seeing her react that way.
Of course. course. If you see your wife going through some shit, I'm sure. I know that my cousin's wife got hit by a car last year, the year before. They was like riding their bikes, like, you know, some exercise. Yeah. And she was going across the street and just kept driving.
That's crazy.
I've never seen my cousin, you know, be soft.
Yeah. That does bring out the vulnerability in most men.
Yeah.
All right. So Ray J looks like he gonna make up for that Love and Hip Hop compilation that we not getting. He took his to IG and surprised fans by saying him and Brandy are gonna have a joint album coming out.
Him and who, Brandy?
Yeah. How that work though? I mean, I'm not trying to hear brother and sister like sing about sex and relationships. Yeah, you go.
R&B production or whatever they had.
Oh, yeah, because they had that joint reality show. I forgot about that. Good luck. I hope he's able to deliver that, because it seems like he's having a little trouble delivering this second baby. Did you see that Princess and Ray J were on BET's late night talk show, Rock Rants? And Princess says they want to have give Melody a sibling, but sex is a problem. Princess says they've done it like 3 times. Ray says he's always ready. And then Princess says, you've been limp lately. It doesn't even get up anymore. Why are we talking on this?
Well,
that's not going to help.
That sounds shady, but honey, what if it's you?
It might be. She might have to do something. Might use her pinky. Get your pinky in there. If you watch American Dad, that joke would have been great for you, but I guess you don't watch. All right.
Sorry.
I was talking to the audience too. If y'all watch American Dad, y'all got that joke. Mimi Foss owes $27,000 in back taxes, according to court documents obtained by The Blast. Mimi, whose real name is Olurimi, I think that's what it is, Olurimi Fela Foss, was hit with 2 separate tax liens by the Georgia Department of Revenue. She's accused of owing a total of $26,775.35. I love how they want their cents. Round up or round down?
Yeah, don't mess me with the cents.
And back taxes, including penalties for multiple years. The breakdown of the tax debt is $1,100 for 2012, $4,400 for 2013. I'm not doing the exacts.
Why y'all won't pay y'all taxes?
Yeah, $4,125, 2015 is $16,000. 2016. Yeah. And granted, $27,000 is, if I owe $27,000, that'll take me back. But Mimi, you probably should have $27,000. If not, your girl got it.
Take it out.
Yeah.
If you don't see it, you won't miss it.
Yeah, ain't that
y'all
the truth?
Just check and be like, "Ooh, I got $20,000 to spend." If you don't take $5,000 out, how y'all get on my damn nerves? Y'all make all this fucking money. Act like Boo Boo the fucking fool on TV and won't pay no taxes so that you can possibly go to jail. Like,
I never understood the not paying taxes because of like, oh, it's the good, it's the right thing. It's just, but not with Mimi, because I don't know Mimi's upbringing, but when it came to rappers and these gangsters, they idolized Al Capone. And when we were young, we learned that's how they got him. They got him on taxes, dude. They could not get him on nothing else. So just pay your taxes. That's all you have to do.
Pay your taxes and your child support.
Yeah.
All right. Make all this money, invest it in something else that'll make you more money.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to end with a little Love and Hip Hop news, but not really. We got the final cast for Marriage Bootcamp Love and Hip Hop Edition.
Okay.
All right. So here we go. This season includes Soulja Boy and Naya, Riley, Waka Flocka and his wife Tammy Rivera, Lil Mo and her husband boxer Carl Dargan, Jessica Dime and her fiance professional basketball player Sean Williams, and Lil Fizz of B2K and Tiffany Campbell. Now, no, hold up. Wait. It gets even better. Because I told you guys this is going to be a long episode and we're getting close to an hour. But here's the funny part. The press release has the storyline. So let me give you some of these. Listen. Soulja Boy and Naya Riley have issues beyond repair. But the rapper actually wants to get married. Naya struggles to free herself from his control while caught in the crossfire of his vicious social media attacks. So yeah, a recipe for a disastrous relationship. Okay. Rapper Waka Flocka and his wife Tammy Rivera may look like everything's all Gucci, but constant salacious rumors of infidelity say otherwise.
How long ago was that recorded?
I have no idea. Hip hop superwoman, aka Lil Mo, and her husband, boxer Carl Dargan, are dealing with alleged infidelity too. Mo recently said she's leaving the music world to be a lawyer, but her man is still getting hit with cheating rumors, and Mo is putting alleged side tricks on blast. All right. For Love & Hip Hop Atlanta star Jessica Diamond, her fiance, professional basketball player Sean Williams, boot camp is their last resort. Apparently, the baby in the ring isn't saving them. Sean has yet to set a wedding date in 2 years.
Now, yeah, here's, has it been 2 years?
Yeah, because usually when we see the next season. In reuniting for the first time in months, y'all should have said years. Or maybe no, this might be months. Lil Fizz of B2K and Tiffany Campbell from Love & Hip Hop Hollywood make a last ditch effort to reignite the spark before the love completely fizzles
y'all
out.
Together for 20 seconds.
But Tiffany isn't the only ex in the mix for Fizz. Something tells
if y'all
us.
If say Monice pop on this episode, I promise you, I would have been better. If they said it was Lil Fizz and Monice, I could have said, okay, maybe they're trying to make it work for Cam's sake.
Yeah.
You know, Tiffany, this is Shorty friend, right?
Yes, yes, 80.
That's what I said. 80. If y'all couldn't, Justin just made this show faker.
All right, something tells us they need to go ahead and hang it up. So, Marriage Boot Camp Hip Hop Edition, I threw the love in there, premieres Thursday, January 10th at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. I will check this out, and I will give you guys recaps each week of the bullshit.
And then Tammy and Flocka, they on the good foot.
They are. Everybody want to get a check. Speaking of a check, what were your thoughts if you did... If you did see it, I have no idea if you did because you might have been fast forwarding the teaser for Black Ink Crew Chicago.
I saw an itty bitty piece. It looked like Kat is back.
I think so. I think that was a hug. It's just the same old, same old.
And Ryan got his new shop, and I thought they all was on the good foot too. I didn't even watch. I got bits of people left.
Yeah, they all. He bought the shop back, and he brought people back, and.
Right, but it looks like maybe he's opening a second shop then, huh? Because he still kept the other shop that he was working.
What ended up happening was he had destroyed the original 9 bag, opened up a new shop, and then he bought the 9 bag back.
Right.
So
what happened to the new shop?
We don't know.
Because maybe he looked like in the little clip that I saw that he was still fixing up the new shop. Maybe he got a second shop.
Maybe. What's the other thing I saw too? Now this is still Black Ink, but I did see Caesar take a picture with Puma, and I forgot the girl name.
Sassy.
Yeah, he was like, "Yo, I still miss them. We're still friends and family." And I was like, "Oh, I forgot. You and Puma had good chemistry."
You know, especially Sassy, because I feel like they didn't have the beef. I feel like him and Puma had the beef when he did his Breakfast Club interview, and they asked him what person if he could bring back anybody to the show, who would it be? And they was like, "What about Puma? What about Puma?" You know, Charlamagne hands it, and so he was like. Teddy saved him by saying Sassy because Caesar was like, nobody. I wouldn't bring nobody back.
Wait, I apologize to you guys who have been listening to the podcast. When we talked about Costa Rica, my first instinct was to say, yo, Erica Mena is in Costa Rica. She said she wasn't doing Love & Hip Hop. I completely forgot that Erica Mena and Kim Bella fought each other. So are they going to patch things up? Are we going to get this beef? Maybe. All right. That's the episode. Yeah. Like I said, this was going to be a long one. Y'all got it. It should hold you over. You can tweet me at one and only. You can tweet Shell.
At Sexy Shell. You can follow me on Instagram. You can follow me on Snappity Chat at iNears with the Z Shell.
All right. And then on equal opposites, I can't wait because we get to talk about the real king of R&B because this was all over Twitter.
Boy,
we could talk about this Kevin Hart grand opening, grand closing for the Oscars and apologies and stuff like that. So
I feel some kind of way about that.
And whatever else happens between now and then. But the King of R&B conversation got really crazy. So I can't wait for us to jump into that. All right. Make sure you follow the website 1515F. Check out other podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe. Like the Facebook page. Join the Facebook group. Until next time, guys. I say peace. She says.
Bye.
Watch him. Watch him move. Watch. Yeah. She bad as fuck, cause she all about the money, yeah. She get it poppin', I swear the streets love it, yeah. She don't worry about them other bitches, no. Watch her move. Watch her move. She bad as fuck, cause she all about the money, yeah. She get it poppin', I swear the streets love it, yeah. She don't worry about them other bitches, no. Watch her move. Watch your move.
I'm a bad rapping bitch, and I stay in the pins. Keep a paid nigga tricking off on me and my friends. And I do what I want, cause I got it to spend. Yeah, I do what I want, just fuck up your rent. I be sunning all these bitches, better show me respect. Don't subtweet, bitch, you better hit me direct. See me in the spot, bitch, you better run me my check. Hop out the Benz, 30K, ice on my neck. I got a dope ass nigga, he be copping me diamonds. And he does what I say, like my name is Simon. Let the diamonds do the talking, I just be miming. Big mama certified, dealer just went viral.
She bad as fuck, cause she all about the money, yeah. She get it popping, I swear the streets love it, yeah. She don't worry about them other bitches, no. Watch her move, watch her move. She bad as fuck, cause she all about the money, yeah. She get it popping, I swear the streets love it, yeah. She don't worry about them other bitches, no. Watch her move. Watch her move.
Since 09, I've been out here hustling niggas. No, really? I be out hustling niggas. I've been getting to the bag, securing them figures. And these bitches is my sons, I got custody, nigga. I just copped a brand new Rollie with a dab of ranch. Louis head to toe like Casey in his dad for dance. Got a two-step and I let my diamonds dance. Got a two-step and I let my diamonds dance.
She bad as fuck, cause she all about the money, yeah. She get it poppin', I swear the streets love it, yeah. She don't worry about them other bitches, no. Watch her move, watch her move. She bad as fuck, cause she all about the money, yeah. She get it poppin', I swear the streets love it, yeah. She don't worry about them other bitches, no. Watch her move, watch her move.